I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your official station to talk Brooklyn Nets.
I was a part about our team. We had so many moving parts that, you know, a lot of us didn't understand exactly what the task was for us each night.
The Fan on 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
Lauren Robinson. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lori Rubenstein, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan at 877-337-6666. That's the phone number. Go ahead and use it. Phone lines are open. Mr. Paul Rosenberg behind the glass. He's producing. Pete Schwartz on the updates. I will be with you for four big hours until 2 a.m. And then it's Amy Lawrence for your overnight. Got three excellent, not even good, excellent guests for you. First up is going to be Howard Beck, the great Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated on the NBA. And, you know, you got what the heck is going on with Kevin Durant. Where is he going to go? What should the Nets do? Kyrie Irving. What's going on with him? Where's he going to go? What should the Nets do? Who has leverage? Who has, you know, who has hand? Who has the upper hand in all of this? The players, the Nets. What does it mean for the league in terms of the star system and the players' power and the way this one, the Nets version of the Big Three, just blew up? And if they had to do it all again, where were the mistakes? What can you learn from it to avoid, if anything, for the future? Anyway, so we're going to talk Nets. Knicks and Jalen Brunson. Was that a good move? Given the money, is it an overpay? Does it matter or not? Do we like what the Knicks did with signing Jalen Brunson, filling the point guard spot? So that, we're going to get into all of that with Howard Beck. That's coming up later. NBA free agency. Then, going to also be joined by Mike Puma from the New York Post on the Mets. Of course, a lot of stuff going on. The Mets win another series on Sunday. And, you know, the Braves do lose. Finally, lost a game, lost against Cincinnati. Mets are going to have to beat up now. They're playing, heading to Cincinnati. They are going to have to beat up on bad teams. Just keep your head down and try and keep winning, because the Braves are a good team. They're going to keep winning. Mets have to do the same. Meanwhile, in Mets land, of course, the big story, Jacob deGrom made his long-awaited first rehab start, the first time he's actually pitched in a baseball game that, you know, kind of mattered this season. First time he's pitching this season. So obviously not in the big leagues, but still. I know it's A-ball. I was sort of hoping it was against St. Louis, the Palm Beach Cardinals. Their social media does the best job when it's DeGrom on a rehab start. But faced six batters, struck out five of them, and the velocity in his first game back first rehab start, first time pitching in a year, and DeGrom reaching 100, 101 miles an hour. So obviously he does not have a different gear. He can't seem to do anything except dial it up. And it doesn't look like he's exerting or overthrowing. But I don't know, Mets fans, does it make you nervous that in the first rehab start, even against A-ball, Jacob DeGrom's throwing 100 miles an hour? Is that a good thing? Or does that make you uncomfortable? 877-337-6666. So, I'm going to talk to Mike Puma about the Mets. And then coming up after that, I'll have Christy Ackert from the New York Daily News going to talk some Yankees baseball as well, of course. And the Yankees, you know, the question with the Yankees, big picture, you can't be the least bit big picture worried or unhappy. I mean, the record is just so good. And the lead in the division is just so big that it's not something when your record is 58-22. You're up by 13.5 games in the division. You know, you're not going to freak out when you lose one game and still win a series against the Cleveland Guardians. But Aaron Boone did choose to rest both Aaron Judge and DJ LeMahieu, kept them out of the starting lineup. They each came into the game to pinch hit. LeMahieu eventually getting into the game, but in the field as well. But choosing to not start and to rest both, what you could say, certainly his best player. I get that. You got to rest Judge sometime. Whether Aaron Judge likes it or not, you got to rest him sometime. But do you have to rest him on the same day you're resting DJ LeMahieu? And with this Yankee lineup, I'm not saying there aren't some other good bats in the lineup, but is that kind of like throwing up the white flag? You know, arguably your two best hitters. You want to say Stanton too? Fine. Two of your three best hitters, you're going to rest on the same day. And I just don't know why that's necessary. I don't know. Agree, disagree there. I get resting Judge. I'm not arguing. Has to get a rest sometime. Why not today? They're off tomorrow, the Yankees. Off day. You get Aaron Judge, 2 days off. I get it. But does it have to be the same day you're resting LeMahieu, or is that too much of a, hey, we're giving up on the game, and we're going to trot out a lineup where... I'm big on analytics. I am, but let's just use batting average just for fun, just for giggles here. Ready? Yankee batting averages today: 223, 245, 226, 252, 255. Aaron Judge pinch hits, gets in at bat. So we'll toss that out for a second. This is a starting lineup. Hicks 221. IKF is down to 258. Gallo is at 165. Here we are. We're about to be July 4th. You can throw me every Sabermetric Doc analytics up the wazoo, but 165 batting average? You remember back in the day, we used to have the Mendoza line, and we would talk about a guy hitting 200, and that was like terrible. Terrible if you were hitting 200. Joey Gallo would have to go on an absolute tear to even have 200 in his vision. It's so pathetic. It's sad. He is a shadow of the player he once was. And at this point, it's not happening in New York. And that is clear. July 4th, here we are, the second year. It's not happening. He's not comfortable. Some people can't play in New York. Some people lose their confidence here. And once that happens, it spirals, and then it's over. I'm declaring, and look, I'm certainly not the first, and I won't be the last. It's July 4th tomorrow. It's done. 165. What's he doing in the lineup? And why did Miguel Andujar get sent down? For what? What does Miguel Andujar have to do? I'm not saying he's the second coming of Babe Ruth. But for the love of Pete, he gets an opportunity when there's a doubleheader to have a sniff of a game, and then he gets sent down. That's it. The Yankees are going to go out between now and the trade deadline, and they are going to trade for an outfield bat. And they're going to give up prospects to do that. And that's fine, because you have to. Because you can't keep carting out the bottom of the lineup and Joey Gallo day after day after day after day after day. So you have to make a change at some point. And you got to go out and get a bat at some point. But wouldn't it be something if you called up a Miguel Andujar and you just gave him the confidence of saying, you're in the lineup. Hey, kid, we saw that you worked on your left field defense there. You're in the lineup. You're going to be starting outfielder. You're in the lineup. Most days. 5 days a week. 5 games out of 7. 5 out of 6. Whatever it is. You're going to see your name out there in the lineup. You're going to get a real opportunity between now. We got a month. Trade deadline is, weirdly, I think, August 2nd this year. So you got a month, and we're going to put you in the lineup over the next few weeks. We're going to see if you can, you know, can you hit like your rookie year or even close to it? Can you give us something? Because then maybe the Yankees don't need to go out there and trade for a bat. I mean, they probably do and will. But why not see what you have? By the way, same thing goes for the Mets. Whether it's Mark Vientos, who's sitting there at AAA, raking for the Mets, or, and I admit, here's a little apology. Every once in a while, I toss out the apologies, and no, for those people who are expecting an apology for the my take on the Robinson Cano trade, that's not this. Sorry, not coming. But to those of you who called in and said to me, what about Francisco Alvarez coming up for the Mets this season? To which I chuckled at you in like April, maybe mid-May. Ha ha ha, he's not ready yet. That's not going to happen. Well, you know what? I didn't expect him to just keep destroying the baseball at AA. Now, obviously, getting promoted now to AAA, but he's 20 years old, and he's absolutely the best hitter in AA. And maybe he's, you know, he's one of the best hitters in all of the minor leagues right now. ESPN redid, Kylie McDaniel, they redid their prospects rankings, midseason prospects rankings a couple weeks ago. Their number one overall prospect in the minor leagues, number one in baseball, is now Francisco Alvarez. Now, does that mean I think he should come up and catch for the Mets? Not really. I think he should do a catching apprenticeship where he sits there on the bench and he watches what James McCann does and he watches what Tomas Nido does and he sits in on the pitchers and catchers meetings and he listens and he soaks it up like a sponge because McCann, rightfully, when he was down there doing his rehab assignment at AA with Alvarez and working with the kid, you know, McCann said, it takes a couple of years in the big leagues for a player at the catching position to know how to call a Major League Baseball game for a young catcher, it takes a couple of years. And unfortunately, there's pain and suffering that goes into it. And you're going to make the wrong call, get beaten by certain players, and then, you know, have to put that away. As much as we have analytics data and computer data and all the stuff that you can look at and study, according to James McCann, and I will believe and buy this, is knowing how certain players react to your pitchers, learning all of this, you just have to, some of it is you have to see it, you have to be in games, you have to call situations, and you have to learn, and that takes a couple of years. So, given where the Mets want to go, and given that they have veteran pitchers like Max Scherzer and hopefully Jacob DeGrom, who can be a little persnickety, you don't want to have a young, and how about Chris Bassitt? He's another one. You don't want a young catcher out there learning with those guys. Not right now. But that bat, the Alvarez bat, I'm sorry for those of you who I kind of chuckled at for suggesting he might be called up this year. I thought that was next season. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm telling you that what should happen between now and the trade deadline, either Vientos or Alvarez should get a shot, because just like I said about the Yankees, Mets should see if there is an answer of a bat in their system that could be better than what they have right now. And you still might go out there and trade for somebody. Mets for sure need relief pitching. Mets might need a starter depending on the health of everybody and who gets back healthy, you know, and everybody's innings and all of that. For the Yankees, by the way, just like we had the Mets and DeGrom making a rehab start, Domingo Germán for the Yankees, he just made his, I think it was his second rehab start also today. And let's not sleep on that for importance for the Yankees, because as great as the Yankee rotation has been, you know, there are some players there with potential innings limits coming off of injuries, haven't pitched this much in their career. So as the Yankees look ahead to the deadline, Domingo Germán giving depth is important too. But I think that, look, Mets for sure are going to need to go out and get a bullpen arm. Both teams are going to be looking at their depth of their starting pitching. But for sure, right now, Yankees and Mets are two of the teams that are buyers for a bat. Buyers for a bat right now. And to me, it is mismanagement for two teams. Look, the Yankees and Brian Cashman obviously have done a terrific job. The Mets and Billy Epler and what they're doing, they've done a terrific job. But to not call up a young player when you have one as an opportunity between now and the deadline, it just doesn't make any sense to me. In the Mets case, it's because you know, you've got a couple guys who are absolutely tearing the cover off the baseball in the minor leagues. And what's the worst thing that happens? The worst thing that happens with an Alvarez. What's the worst thing that happens if you call him up? You know, we're afraid he's going to lose his confidence for the rest of time if he has a bad 2 weeks in the major leagues. If it doesn't go well, you put him in the lineup for a few weeks. If it doesn't go well, okay, fine. You can always send him back. And if it's Vientos, same. Give him a chance. If it doesn't work, you can send him back. Maybe in the case of Vientos, I suppose it can cost you some trade value if he struggles a little bit. But why not see if you have something in your own system now? And for the Yankees, to cart out Joey Gallo day after day, game after game. At this point, it's getting cruel. It's like it's cruel to Gallo and to Yankee fans. Everybody just feels bad. You watch him out there for a team that is so positive, running away with the division at this point, and playing such a beautiful brand of baseball day after day, generally speaking. I mean, Sunday was an off day. Yankees only got one hit, had two errors. It was not their day. Sat two of their best hitters. Not a great day for the Yankees. Okay. But they still won the series against the Cleveland Guardians. They're playing great baseball. They're on like a record pace. But Joey Gallo is this one, like, Eeyore, it's going to rain cloud of negativity that's around the team that you just, you know, it at this point, like, why have it? It doesn't make any sense. 165. He's hitting 165. A 165 batting average. And it's not like he's hitting you 30 home runs on the season. He's not. 9 home runs. Okay. That doesn't warrant a 165 batting average. 9 home runs. And 18 RBIs. What's he doing in there? Bring up Andujar. Give him a chance. Can't be worse. He cannot give you less than Joey Gallo is giving you on a daily basis. He can't. Give him a chance. All right, we got to go NBA free agency. We got Kevin Durant. We got Kyrie Irving. What should the Nets do? Who has leverage in this situation? What would you do if you were Sean Marks? How would you handle it? We got the Knicks, Jalen Brunson signing. Over $100 million. Did they overpay? Does it matter given where the Knicks are? Do we grade on a curve when it comes to the Knicks and how we look at these things? And Yankees and Mets, yes. By the way, I'll also, we got two other things we will get to. One, why I believe this was truly a happy Bobby Bonilla day. We'll get into that in a moment. And Rosenberg and I are going to have to do a little bit of a breakdown, a little play-by-play and breakdown of the Fliegelman wedding.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.